that you came this evening. And you'll understand why in a few minutes. The announcement read, the Menahel will be speaking on Sunday at 6:45 on the topic of... I asked a few people, what topic am I speaking about? It's interesting how it works out, but you'll get it. I had the opportunity to speak to Rav Pesach Kron, and he reminded me that a number of years ago, the Rebbeim in Rav Moshe Feinstein's yeshiva, MTJ, on the east side, came to him and they wanted to change the Gemara for Haskalah's Gemara. The Gemara commonly, not exclusively, but commonly taught in the Mesiftis would be Haskalah's Gemara, 6th grade maybe then, now 5th grade, yes, and some even earlier, but at least by 5th, 6th grade, would be the Bavis. And there they were teaching an MTJ, Rav Moshe's Yeshiva. They were teaching either Elul Matzias, which is normally the first one, or Hamafkid, or Shnayim Eichsim. And they wanted a change. They felt it would be more appropriate if they, for example, would learn Brachas. So he called everybody in, and he, for the Rebbeim, and he said the following. I want to keep the Masechtas, not to change them, because when they are learning any of the Bavas, they are constantly repeating the refrain, Metornit Nemen Yenims. Metornit Nemen Yenims. All right, for those of you who said it's a midunit, whatever it is, it's metornit nemen yemim, which means never take something that belongs to somebody else. Metornit, lo osim, you don't do, you don't take. Nemen is to take. Metornit, you don't nemen take yenim, somebody else's thing. And therefore he said, I want to, you know, repeat it. And over the year, they hear it over and over and over till it goes into their blood. I'm going to say something that I didn't anticipate saying, but today I was in court for 7 hours. 7 hours. Just got out a little bit before 5 o'clock. But 7 hours, and I wasn't personal. I was there as a part of support. And I saw a plaintiff, and I saw the defendant. You know, the defendant is the accused. The plaintiff is the one who comes with the accusation. And I saw, here you had two people there, and the defendant had to have himself be accused and then defend himself. And going through the bizarre. You know, at least, and I said, you know, I went through the whole thing, to hear what went on. And then I said to myself, just extrapolating, at least each defendant and the plaintiff had like a cheering team, so to speak. You know, family were there, some family members and some close friends. But then I say to myself, just what happens, just as a thought, before the Yom HaDin? The Yom HaDin, where a person comes alone. There's no, like the Mishnah says, there's no, on the Yom HaDin, there's not going to be, you know, your only friends, Torah mitzvahs. But I saw today, I don't wish on anybody. I don't have enemies like that. So I can't say I won't wish on my, you know, worst enemy. I don't have it. But, oy vey, what a gefrele chazach. I had enough to just to see that. Anyway, metornit nemen yenims. And that's the reason, say some of the Mephoshim, where Reb Chiya, when he said, I would see making a Gemara above Metzia, says the Torah would never be forgotten from the Eretz Yisrael. How would you do it? I would plant seeds for flax, and I would then harvest the flax that grows, and then I would braid nets, and then I would trap deer, and then I would shech the deer, and then I would tan the hides, and then I would make svarim for teaching the, you know, the students. Tanakh, I would do that in order to teach them. And so a lot of reasons, why does Rav Chiya have to do that? Just go to the store and buy something. Whatever it is, in those days, they did have, you know, they did have scrolls, you know, that people could learn. What do you have to, why does he have to do everything himself? So one of the Mefarshim does learn, it's appropriate for this, that when he did it himself, he was sure that everything was 100%, 1,000%. It had not only did it have the proper machshavas, but there was no shaila of geneva, of gezeila, from the ink, from the pen, from these flax, from everything was there. He was 100% sure. No gezeila. Now, why is he so worried about the gezeila? What's wrong? Okay, you know, there are 613 mitzvahs too. But the fact is that we'll talk about it. You see something else too? Rav Michal, same type of approach as stuff. Rav Yechiel Michal Feinstein. He went for a doctor's appointment and owed some money. He didn't have enough to pay for the whole bill. So here in Eretz Yisrael. And he came back after 12 o'clock at night to the clinic. So the doctor was in the clinic just cleaning up. Long night. You know, that's how, even now, there's some doctors I know, they start their nights at 7 o'clock, 9 o'clock, whatever, and they go even into the wee hours. And anyway, this doctor was doing, after 12 o'clock, who comes? Rav Feinstein, to give back money. He says, why'd you have to come after 12 o'clock? Why didn't you send the shliach? Why didn't you do something? But what is that? But Rav Yechiel Michal said, when I owe, I want to pay up. Okay, fine. There's a Rav, already Zechet Tzadik Livracha, Tikhatsinsky, Rav Moshe Tikhatsinsky. He was collecting money for his yeshiva in London when he was robbed by three people. So of course he went to the police to tell them that he was robbed. And what happened? They caught the robber and they got the money too. And they asked him. Okay, we have the robbers. How do we know that this money is yours? Because they got the money on them. And he pulled out a list from his pocket with all the serial numbers of the cash that he collected together with the checks. Woo! Can you imagine that? He wanted to make sure that there was an accounting for each and every single thing that he did. Rav Aaron Cutler, they say, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, what he did is that when there was a rendering of Beis Medrash Gavoa, and you know, I've been involved in building campaigns, and so what do? You have a beautiful, you know, have a building, the sketch. It's a rendering, is an artist's drawing. This is what you're going to pay for. Mitzvah Hashem will have the same thing for our own yeshiva here. But that's it. So what's going to be? So they had landscaping of various trees and things like that to make it really look nice. And Ravaran knew that he wasn't going to build it. He wasn't going to have trees in these places. In certain places, you know, he said, take the trees out of the rendering. When I have people give money to our yeshiva, I want them as much as possible to see the real thing. And not that they should be fooled to think that maybe they're giving to something and we make it look better than it is. Okay. You know, Gedolim, let me tell you, a Maisa Shahaya with a woman from Iran. Young woman from Iran came to Eretz Israel, and she was 14 years old and she wanted to get married. So they went, she and her husband to be, they went to get a marriage license, and they, how old are you? She knew that in order to, the rule at that time, I don't know what it is now, you have to be 18 to get married. Can't get other? Right? And she's going to, not going to work. So she said she's 18. Okay. Now, it came years later. She's now 56 years old. But she had said that she was 4 years older than she was. So now Bituach Lumi kicks in. Bituach Lumi is insurance. When a person works, he pays someday. Bituach Lumi, you know, in Israel, they want to make sure that a person gets older, so he gets his pension. Everybody gets something from Bituach Lumi. When they reach at this time, whatever the rules are now, I don't know, 60 years old for women. So what happens? Of course, you know, I also get Bituach Lumi. Anyway, so 60 years and up. So what happens? So this so now she has a shaila. She has a shaila. She goes to the rub with a shaila. What's the shaila? I'm really not 60 years old. I'm really 56. He says, well, go to Bituach Lumi and check it out. Well, first of all, after she picks the guy up off the floor, when she says to him, I can't take the money because I don't want to lie. And, you know, now those type of showers don't come in. So they had the problem in Bituach Le'umi that they adjudicated. However, I'll tell you another time what they paskin. But the idea is that here the woman was chayshish. She didn't want to take gezel. All right, so you'll say, why didn't she wait 4 years to get married? Don't worry about that. That's a different story. But the metzias hadavar is, when it came to take money, she wasn't going to take money that didn't belong to her. Beautiful, beautiful idea as far as that's concerned. Elchanan knows this story. Anybody want to say, check me out? One thing you'll find, I don't tell stories. If I don't know, isn't it? Whatever. There's a Mitchell family who used to be, the family itself used to be students of mine in Atlanta, the two boys. And they have a sister, Esther, who got married to Noach Mirov. They live in Connecticut, right? They changed deers, whatever it is. They moved into a place. They took a desk. And in the desk, lo and behold, you may have read about it. Just read if you did. $98,000 in the desk about 6 weeks ago. Just not going back to the, you know, 6 weeks ago. $98,000. Can you imagine? And from a non-Jewish lady. And they went ahead, asked the Shiloh, you should give it back if you want. Because in this case, what a Kiddush Hashem. And they gave it back. The media spoke, Orthodox Jews, da-da-da-da. But a Kiddush Hashem. Is a Kiddush Hashem worth $98,000? Yes, there's no Shiloh. The $98,000 would be this. Listen, we all like to have $98,000. But can you imagine what $98,000 bought for them in the Shemayim and how many people that they were able to say, this is a Yid. What a wonderful thing. This is the way it's supposed to be. Okay, fine. The fact is this. Geneva from a non-Jew is not only Osir B'Isir Gomor, Geneva, but the Chil Hashem is even worse than if one would steal from a Jew. Because of Achil Hashem. Now the fact is this. In this case, we're not talking about stealing. But we are talking about the Kiddush Hashem. And if a mitzvah is worth 500 times more and of a comparable Aveira. Because remember, Kiddush Baruch Hu wants us to make it here. He didn't put us here to say, sorry, you didn't make it. So, you know, now, you know, we can zap you for the rest of your eternity. It's not the way it works. We won't fakir. He wants us to make it. So they have a mitzvah is worth 500 times more. Can you imagine what they get for that? Kiddush Hashem, you'll call them up later if you go. You'll give me the number. You know, I'll speak to the parents. They're still here till tomorrow, right? And I'd love to see Teo. Okay. The Gemara says, Rubam Begezel. And that's why are the Gedolim and the Katanim. Who's to say who a Gedol is and who a Katan is in many, many ways, okay? But people of whatever stature they may be, in the eyes of others, the fact is, careful with Gezel, because the Schar is so fantastic when we are careful, and God forbid, the consequences are so terrible as such, okay? Consequences are so terrible. And I'm just not talking about, God forbid, deliberate, premeditated stealing, like going into somebody's wallet, chas v'sholem, or identity theft, or cyber theft, or what I saw today, God forbid, any of us, should have to go through what I saw today, somebody going through. It wasn't I. And I know, but believe you me, from preparing this for you, I do want you to know, I did pay two debts that I had. You know, I did. I know what it is. I had in mind to take care. I took care of it because I chas v'sholem. I don't want. I'm not talking about Ari. I'm not talking that you would lend me the amount of time. I mean, you know, a little bit larger. Three debts I took care of today. Okay, fine, good. Can't talk about you about being careful. And then he says he borrowed from me and let it go like that. Okay. You know, the fact is this, we see it, you know, that one of the mitzvahs of Arichas Yomim, besides Shluch HaKan, besides Kibbutz Avayim, is the mitzvah of being careful with weights. Being careful, so that's it. Weights mean, you know, hinsetic, to be careful when we are using all the measures and weights when we're doing business and things of this. This is also part of being honest and careful, okay? As a matter of fact, you talk about business. Maisa Shehoya Kachoya. This talk happened with Reb Zilberstein. A husband and wife are in business, and they are suppliers of baked goods. And over a period of years, they were taking. In other words, they're supposed to deliver X number of rolls and other baked goods, and they always give less in certain areas. So you're talking about taking money for X number, but you're not giving X number. You're giving less than X number. But who counts, you know? If all those rolls come in, so it'll be 95 instead of 100. It'll be, 190 instead of 200, you know. Do you start counting the bags and they come in? Rarely. And if a mistake comes one day, okay, fine. I can't even tell you they did it every single delivery, I'm sure. And people want to be able to fool people. They have their own pattern, old method. But now, after a while, maybe they heard a schmooze like this, and they decided, we've made a terrible mistake. What do we do? How do we fix it in this case? What do you do? They lived well because they were very successful. So they went to the Rav. I don't know if they went to Rabbi Zilberstein or it was just brought down that he heard about it as such. I don't recall. But anyway, here's the story. After due consideration, and they said, we don't even know anymore. Like, it's years that we've been doing this, and the amount that we owe were hundreds of thousands of shekel, and what do we do? He said, where do you live? How do you live? Sell your house. And the husband was like, "Lou, sell his house? You know what they did to build, to buy the house that they had? I mean, not portion." And he turned to his wife. She was sitting there, because, with both of them. And they both agreed to sell their home to pay the debt. And after that, when they were about to leave, the Rav, whether it was Rav Zilberstein or whoever else, stood up for them. And he said, for this type of decision, in order to be able to be meshev es agzela, I have to stay. I want to stand up for you. And he stood up. And they did sell their house, because that's the only one. They weren't going to make it. There are other ways to do, and Mitzvah Shem won't. It's not going to be tonight because the time already starts to move along. However, we'll talk about it. But whoa, boy, oh boy, there's no shiloh. Now, what are the? Why is everybody so worried about this? Because first of all, everybody's handling with situations that the possibility is of, God forbid, being over the iser geneva gezeilah. And again, I'm not talking about like these two people with the business. But what really? So a person does take something without tshuva. What really are the problems as such? So the Rambam says, without tshuva, so on Yom Kippur, the tefillahs are not answered. Tefillahs, Yom Kippur, well, let me go back. Daily davening is not answered. A person has a block, a stone wall, an iron barrier. He tefillah. He stands wherever he is. God forbid, not in this past Medrash, but God forbid, Dovins. And it doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't go anywhere because the Kaddish Baruch won't accept it. It was not his mouth that did it, but Poshet. As one of the Sfarim I saw says, your hands are filled with blood. Because you took something that a person put his sweat and his blood into it. And here you took it, and you haven't done tshuva. You haven't returned it. The tefillahs are not answered, God forbid. Who would ever want to be in a situation like that? And that's without tshuva. On Yom Kippur, not only are, there are two components when a person steals in one way. Whatever it is. I'm talking about really stealing something. Two components. One is Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, we understand. Ben Adam L'Makom, God said don't do it. Okay, listen, you understand I needed it, or you understand I wanted it, or you understand how hard it was for me, or you understand that I don't like them anyway. You understand, I'm sorry. Hashem, I'm not going to do it anymore, I promise you, I feel very bad. But the guy doesn't return it. He doesn't take care of the Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. He doesn't go back to his friend to say, listen, I'm sorry for the tzar I gave you, or whatever it may be, and he doesn't return it. Then it doesn't help for Ben Adam L'Makom either. Then Hashem says, not going to help you out with this one. I'm not going to forgive you for this, because if you can't make amends here, you're not going to make it here. That's all. Whoa. That's a heavy one as well. God forbid to be in that kind of situation. And that is for sure. Now, what happens as well to a person who sometimes is oblivious to it all? He's doing, unfortunately, you read about in the newspapers. Newspapers can be, from time to time, a good source of mussar. Guy thinks he's getting along well, and he's in business. This, listen, I don't want to even mention the names of people at all, but you've heard about this too. It's nothing new. Many of them come here, America, other places in the world too. However, a guy who's stealing, he feels, okay, it's good working well. But you know, he doesn't realize that their God forbid are doctor bills that show. Okay, he has the money to pay for the doctor bill. Home improvement, car problems, you name it. They're all different types of things. But he figures this, you know, at least he has the money to pay for these things. And, oh, he can pay for the doctor. Yeah. Okay. What he doesn't understand is that if he wouldn't be involved, God forbid, in the stealing, the doctor bills wouldn't be there. The car repair wouldn't be there. The washing machine would work. The stove would function, whatever it is. But God forbid, if he keeps paying out and keeps bringing in the way he is, then, you know, there's going to be a day of reckoning, and it will be a terrible, terrible thing. Now, the Yalkut Shemoni says a person wonders sometimes, why am I not matzliach? Whatever the situation is, he tries this way, tries that way. He's a smart guy. He's not matzliach. Why? It says, Rishon, the Lashon is, the Rishon is, look at Gezel. Have you involved with Gezel, which is the Mekatrig HaRishon? That's the first of the accusers. Gezel. Uh-oh. This way is not so simple. But that's the Yalkut Shemoni says, taking it very seriously. Listen, let's face it. It's one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. It's a, even Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, one is Gezel. Of the other six we'll go into other times, but with Gezel, the Mole Aretz Chomos in the time of the Mabul, that was the clincher. And not only that, but a person that comes before the Beis Din Shalmala, the question is, Nasasa v'Nasata be'emuna, did you, if you were in business, did you do things properly? Or even don't have to be in business. I have a guitar. I want to sell my guitar. I have a bike. I have an iPod, whatever it is. iPhone. Do I want it? Not an iPhone. Okay, fine. Good. But I have whatever it is. I want to sell it. Do I do it all right? So I don't have to be in business. But am I doing it according to halacha? It was interesting. A man left chinuch. He didn't want to deal with the shilas about teaching. And believe me, there are plenty of shilas in teaching that come up and are trying. He wanted something easier, like business. You know, choshen mishpat. Before a person goes into business, the shilas and choshen mishpat. Listen, I've never been in business per se, so I really don't have an ability to know all or even a good part of shilas and choshen mishpat. But a person who goes into business should start now. If you figure I'm going to go into business eventually when I leave, what are you doing in America? I'll do this. Maybe I'll get an MBA. Maybe I'll do it. Wonderful. Get an MBA and choshen mishpat at the same time, and then zingo. And I always remember Rav Scheinberg. Rav Scheinberg, not the Rav Scheinberg in Eretz Yisrael, a nephew of Rav Scheinberg in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Meir Scheinberg. Anyone here maybe know from Flatbush or Flatbush, Rav Meir Scheinberg? Rav Meir Scheinberg used to give a shiur in Edison, New Jersey when I lived in Edison. And he gave it to doctors. And you really had to be on the ball to go to doctors and be able to give a shiur in halacha. We once had one man who came in and beautiful man, but he didn't have the real shimush. He knew, in theory, how things work. No, the doctors don't want theory. They want to have good. I want to know, but I want to know lamaisa, how you take care of this, halachically on Shabbos and on Yontif and on whatever the shaila may be. And I saw us in the fashion, all the questions that came in. Fine. So somebody asked him, because we used to have question and answers, and I sat in on it as such. So one of the questions that came up was, what would be the best way to be a Shomer Shabbos? Which area of medicine? Which in medicine? What would be the best thing to do in medicine? Which part of medicine should I choose in order to be a Shomer Mitzvah, a Shomer Shabbos in particular over here? So I was sitting there, you know, and oh, I had the answer easily enough. I say to myself, I didn't, of course, and I'm talking to myself. I say, easily, I'll be a dermatologist. How often is a dermatologist called on Shabbos? I'll be a radiologist reading X-rays. I'll ask, let somebody else do it. I mean, I'm not going to go into da 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 because there's no Shabbos. So what did Rav Scheinberg say? He said, choose what you want and choose what you're good at and learn up the halachas. And that's what you do. So when you're, same thing in business, I'm going to go this, this, this. Great, wonderful. Learn the halachas and the chashan mishpah. You don't say, oh, I wouldn't go in there. Too many shots. Hey, listen, come on. You learn it. You have a rough to ask shalas, whatever it is. Fine. All right. The Gra says that a person, God forbid, who has even one nail, a stolen nail, being used to build his house, will never have hatzlocha in learning that he does in that home. Can you imagine a zazach? And he won't have other hatzlocha either in the house too. Whoa. And when it comes, listen, God forbid, this was what I saw today too. It was a question of theft. It's not just going to shul. People were involved in a case of theft. And I observed how hurt the plaintiffs were. Remember, the plaintiff is the nigzel. The defendant is the gazlan, or whatever the situation is. I saw the nigzel who said, I was standing when the nigzel was talking about what this theft did to that person's life over here, and how that person had problems sleeping, and how that person had bad dreams, and how that person felt violated by a person who stole from that person. So the nigzel said, so the plaintiff said. So here, when one of the svarim say that min hashemayim memaharim lishmoa, in the shemayim, they quickly, a Kaddish Baruch Hu comes to hear the cry of the nigzel. And the door of tzaaka, of complaint, is never closed. Woo, boy. I'm listening to this, you know, in awe. Now, we think, I know I don't have time to go into an important piece that I'll glean at or touch next time we speak because it's too involved. But I will say this. We figure, so, okay, I'm not stealing wallets and I'm not stealing, what's he talking to? I know. But I would say this. I borrowed today six agorot from Ari. Okay? It was so easy. Now, I knew I wasn't going to forget because I was speaking today. But let me tell you, the fact is I wrote it down because I put your name together. Yeah. With the six egg here, right? Because otherwise I would forget. Let me borrow your pen. Can I borrow your pen for a second? No, it's okay. I give the pen, put it here. Forget it, even I know. Fine, Baruch Hashem. This is stealing. This is over. I won't even listen. I know my friend doesn't mind if I use his deodorant a little bit. Okay, fine. Maybe that's too personal. Won't deal with personal. Okay, fine. With his reshus, no problem. But otherwise, yeah, he does. Would you believe nowadays a shayla is normally we say, Michle lem inish lemevim mitzvah b'mamone. If I have a mitzvah to do with somebody's mamon, it's okay. You know, you can borrow it. You don't have to ask any questions as long as you give it back nicely and all that. So the shayla I saw in a sefer is this. Nowadays, that people are so makpid on odors. If you borrow somebody's kittel, do you have to ask Rishus? So I would have said, you know, the poster, I would have said, well, of course not. Nowadays, if there may be some odor of perspiration, the person won't want to give it to you. So that's a diun. It's nishta zay pusha to say, oh, you have to know what you're talking about. So therefore, I'm saying to us, we have to be careful. And therefore, you'll see, well, I'll believe that the next time we talk, part of the time, there's a great payoff and all that. Have a good evening.